Let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, thank you for revealing yourself to us in words and sacrament. Thank you for making your home within us, for coming and being with us so that we can have a glimpse of the power of God's grace, mercy, and love. Pour your Holy Spirit on us this day, that we may walk as children of light, forever demonstrating your glory. And we ask this in the name and in the power and in the glory of your Son, our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And together, amen. I just want to say thanks, Stuart, for Reverend Ruth Taylor's music. I think she's here today in what would have been probably her 50th vestry meeting. Anyhow, it was lovely to hear the music. In 2009, on a one-way ticket, I left Ontario to begin a new ministry at St. Albans in Burnaby. And I remember flying into Vancouver. And as we all know, coming in over the mountains and the valleys is truly a remarkable sight. I have since flown other times into the city, but that day in February 2009 remains a significant memory. Seeing the topography of mountains and valleys brings to mind now that what we are acknowledging and celebrating this morning in 2021, the transfiguration of Christ on a mountain far above the nooks and crannies and valleys of first century Israel. The transfiguration on an unnamed high mountain changed forever the three lives of those three disciples, Peter, James, and John. Three ordinary men witnesses to a supernatural and extraordinary event. And it was something like that ride over the mountain, for me, that they would remember. It was a moment of searing clarity when they confronted Jesus' identity as the Son of God in incontestable terms. The truth of who this man was slapped them in the face, the way the truth and the life blazed before them. The story of that which we had become vague, an undefined awareness, now becomes clear. The story of the transfiguration is God's way of showing us who Jesus is. That divine encounter on a mountaintop is the final demonstration of the Lordship of Christ before he goes to the cross. Roughly a week before this takes place, Jesus had asked his disciples who people thought he was. And when he came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, so who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he says, yeah, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And stumbling, bumbling, Simon Peter says, oh, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So it wasn't just the crowds who were talking about Jesus, but his disciples were asking the same question. The question, who is this Jesus, was burning on everyone's lips. And in this exchange, we see the human response, the right answer. But today in the gospel, we see the divine response. And the transfiguration takes place because God wanted to answer that question, definitely, once and for all. Who is Jesus? And God gives the disciples clear visual evidence of who Jesus is. Visual. They didn't have to guess at it anymore. And the transfiguration story is not a wandering Easter account that makes a clumsy entrance into the middle of Mark's gospel. It is a summons to look at what is happening around us from a different angle of vision. The fact that we suddenly encounter a high mountain where we least expect one is crucial. The abrupt appearance of a soaring mountain is an invitation to scale its heights with Peter, James, and too can see what we cannot see in the valley. And do not look for this mountain on a Bible map. This mountain juts out not from the topography of Galilee, but from the topography of God. This is a mountain of revelation, the mountain of transformed vision, the mountain of true seeing. God's response to the question who Jesus is was to reveal, to disclose Jesus in his full glory. And what we see, of course, is Jesus. We see dazzling clothes, the cloud of divine protection. We see Elijah and Moses. And what do we hear? This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. The transfiguration account is best understood as a moment when we see who Jesus Christ really is. And what gets transfigured is not Jesus, but our perception of him. Our vision changes, and we see Jesus for real. And one of the things we see is that Jesus is beloved by God. We could have never seen that down in the valley. No one ever guessed that he was beloved by anybody. Already he had been misunderstood by his disciples. He'd been rejected by his hometown, drained of his power by his neighbors' unbelief, and plotted against by the authorities. And we know that 6 weeks from now, even more powerful winds of hell are about to be unleashed. And Jesus knows that he must undergo great suffering and be rejected. So seeing Jesus for real on that mountain, we see ourselves for real too. And Mark's community would have surely recognized the parallels between themselves and Christ. Down in their own valley, all they could do was see their life and hope slipping away. But on that mountain, they could see themselves in Jesus' light. They could see their own baptismal garments dazzling like the sun. They could see the cloud of God's care hovering over them. And they could hear God calling to them, beloved. And once again, they could trust the promise that those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. As one writer puts it, and so it is for us. Sometimes nothing is more discouraging than being a Christ follower in the middle of messy things. Trying to speak a word of peace in a war-mad world. Trying to promise hope to a culture that mistrusts what it cannot grasp. And down in the valley, it is often hard to see how our prayers and witness in Jesus' name can be sustained. And on this day, Peter, James, and John were given a heavenly vision to prepare them, to give them the courage for their own cross. And as we know, James would be the first disciple to die for Christ. You can read that in Acts 12. John will be the last, going through severe persecution before he does. And tradition has it that Peter will experience many occasions of suffering and then will be crucified upside down at his own request. They and us are given a newfound confidence on that mountain. And the Lord only knows. The disciples needed confidence in the word of God, the law, and the prophets, and each of them would later pen much of the New Testament themselves. There's a wonderful book called A Dresser of Sycamore Trees, and it's by a lay Episcopal minister, Garrett Keizer, K-E-I-Z-E-R, who describes a holy Saturday night vigil held in his tiny Vermont church. When he arrived at the church, he found that only two other people, a husband and a wife, had come for the service. All three of them huddled together in that old church. Keizer lit the Paschal candle and extinguished the other lights, a symbol of hearing God's great promise of hope. In darkness, longing to hear it in the light of day. And together they prayed. Grant that in this Paschal feast we may so burn with heavenly desires that with pure hearts we may attain to the festival of everlasting light. The paschal candles sputtered in the dimness. And I love this. As they prayed, the worshippers could hear cars passing by outside. Travelers in a secular age, oblivious to the ancient hopes being spoken in that little chapel. And there we were, Kaiser wrote, three people in a flickering light. This act of worship was, he said, so ambiguous because its terms are so extreme. The Lord is with us, or we are pathetic fools. That says it well. Either the Lord is with us, or we are pathetic fools. But up on that mountain, there is another angle of vision. Up there, in the light of Christ, we can see Jesus revealed for real. And we are not pathetic fools. For we are real. And so is Christ. Let us pray. God of all power, we glorify and magnify your name because of who you are. We thank you for the divine confirmation of your Son while he was here on earth. Became the radiant glory. Your Son became transfigured before his followers. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Lord, your power was evident in this transfiguration, and for that we thank you, for being who you say you are. Amen.